Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
Ooh, can we praise God for the worship today? Woo, bless the Lord. He answered my prayer. I asked him to take us somewhere we hadn't been in a long time. Hallelujah. Yes, he did. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news lately. Like in the last 6 months, there have been a rash of church vandalisms, even in our own city, where churches are being set on fire. They're being vandalized through graffiti, and people are stealing things out of the church. I mean, just a total disregard for the holiness of God's house. How would you feel if someone vandalized your church? How would you feel if somebody violated your house of worship? Would you be angry? Would you be frustrated? Would you be vengeful? A few weeks ago, it happened in here, family. Some bodies came up in here thinking this was a good place for a private party. When we arrived on Sunday morning, this building, this house of worship, this sanctuary smelled like weed, cigarettes, and alcohol. There were rolling papers all over the place, cigarette butts on the floor, trash all in the house of God. Can you believe it? Somebody came up in here and desecrated the sanctuary of God. In the Old Testament, if that had been done, not only would the ones that did it be put to death, but their wives, their children, and their children's children would be wiped off the face of the earth so that they wouldn't have any descendants. Does it anger you to know that somebody came in here and desecrated the house of God? It makes me mad, too. It upsets me that someone would defile the holy of holies that is this temple. Well, how do you think God feels when we do the exact same thing with our bodies? Uh-oh, danger! 1 Corinthians says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, somebody say therefore, honor God with your bodies. God designed these bodies to be his holy temple. But are we? Can I just get real today? There are too many fat people in the family of God. It's too many unhealthy people in the family of God. It's not okay to be overweight. It's not okay to be unhealthy. It's not okay. God is, oh, y'all quiet now. God is calling the people of God to get in shape. God is calling the people of God to get in shape. Today I come to you from the theme, fit for the kingdom. Fit for the kingdom. Hallelujah. We are in the annual or the year-long theme of taking his word to the world. Well, God has been teaching us to wear our witness. He's been telling us how we're supposed to dress on the inside as well as on the outside. Amen. And now he's taking it to a whole nother level where he's calling out the fat family of God and saying it's time to get fit, family of God. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians today, chapter 6. And we just have a few little verses to look at, and it's going to be the jumping off point for what God wants to say to us on today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, hallelujah, I'm on my way, I'm getting there, my technology is acting up on me today. Fix it, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 12. And just so you know, this passage is couched in a discussion that Paul is having about sexual immorality. And he's talking about what is and is not okay to do with our bodies. And he's really focusing on what we do that is sexually immoral. But we're not on that page today, family. Today, we're going to take a look at a little example that he threw out there and then just kept on going. He didn't even elaborate on it. He didn't spend a whole lot of time on it, but he put it out there and somebody picked it up. Amen. Somebody, and I'm hoping somebody gonna pick it up today. Verse 12. I have the right, this is the New International Version. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do whatever I want to do because I'm grown and I've got free will and I pay my bills and I live in my own house. So I can do whatever I want to do because I have some independence and there are some people that I don't have to answer to. I have the right to do anything because I've risen up in the ranks and I have some authority, whether it be on my job, over my children, with my spouse, or just in my household. I have risen up to a point in my life where I can do whatever I want to do, and you better not say nothing about it. But not everything I have the right to do is going to be of benefit to me. I might be able to do whatever I want to do, but it might be done to my detriment. It might be done to my own desecration. It might be done to my destruction. Free will does not mean you can do anything you want just because he's given you the free will to do it. He's giving us free will so that we can learn right from wrong, good from bad, what is of benefit and what is of detriment to us. Is anybody with me today? So I can do it, but maybe I shouldn't do it. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. And that's the key right there, because there should only be one master in our lives. Amen. And that is Jesus through the power of his Holy Ghost. Are you still with me? He says, you say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. Food for the stomach and stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. In other words, you say, what difference does it make if I eat more than I should eat or not? Because regardless of whether I eat well or eat bad, it's going to end in death. The food is going to be destroyed. Even if I don't eat it, somebody else is going to eat it. So what difference does it make? I should be able to eat whatever I want to eat because I'm going to die anyway. That's what he's trying to convey. That this is what the people believe. Oh, I should not be able to eat whatever I want to. It's the food is for my stomach, and my stomach is supposed to be for food, because if I don't eat, I'm going to die. So I might as well eat because I'm going to die whether I eat or not. Free will is a real tricky little device that the Lord has given to us. And what it does is it makes us have this false sense of freedom, if you will, where we just believe that We can, you know, make whatever choices we want to make, and it's not really going to make a difference. But see, we get influenced by the world, family. We get influenced by the world, and they start to try to tell us what it is we're supposed to eat. If you watch television, you can watch your favorite show and count how many fast food commercials they have in between each, during each one of those commercials. Because see, the world chooses for you McDonald's, Jack in the Box, Burger King, In-N-Out, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, Wingstop. The world chooses for us saturated fat, too much salt, too much sugar. The world chooses for us high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, clogged arteries, and cancer. And because we have free will, sometimes we listen to the world. And we eat what the world says five nights a week. We feed our children what the world says five, six, seven nights a week. And then we want, somebody confessions. Somebody said twice during the day. Gone. Because it's convenient. Because I don't feel like cooking. Because I don't have all of the ingredients. Now, I'm not judging anybody. Been there, done that, still trying to get delivered from that. But I know one thing I can't lie about. I can cook a meal quick. I could cook a meal faster than I can sit up in that drive-thru. Because by the time I get through the drive-thru and get myself home to eat my food, it's half cold because I had to wait till I got home to eat it because I don't like eating in the car. I could have had a whole meal cooked with chicken, vegetables, and a starch. It don't take that much to eat healthy. But we've been listening to too many of the messages of the world that tell us it's better to eat unhealthy. Now, they don't say it like that because that's just like putting the devil up here looking red with a pitchfork and some horns. That it's the same thing as that. If they come up to you and say, I don't want you to eat healthy, eat this Big Mac and every last one of these fries. I don't know about you, but I don't leave a fry. I don't leave a fry. I get it together where I have my fries left, you know, just as much left as my burger so that I can have them at the same time. That's how I do. Because that's how they trained me. See, I've been trained by McDonald's and Burger King. I've been trained to eat a certain way because I done bought into their commercials. Have it your way. I done bought into the lies. And I know I'm not the only one, because I ain't the only fat Christian up in here. Mm-hmm. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. The stomach for the food and the food for the stomach. Our mindset shouldn't be about the fact that we gonna die anyway, because that's a given. We're not created to live on earth forever in these bodies. These bodies have a birth date and a death date. Just because you don't know the death date don't mean the death date is not already known by God. Our job on this earth is to do the best that we can do while we are yet alive. That we are to be witnesses for other people so that they will see and know. It's not okay to be fat just because you are a Christian. See, that's the witness that we're sending, not just Abundant Life, but I'm talking about Christians all over the country. They justify that they don't have all these other vices, but I just enjoy eating. That don't make it right. That doesn't make it right. And the two or three of you that's skinny in here don't mean you healthy. So don't think this message is not for me today. Oh, it's for everybody. It's for everybody. I'm just putting a spotlight on the fat ones. It's on me too. The spotlight is on me. You see all that light? It's on me. Not judging, we just exposing. Because he said, take his word to the world. And his word is not fat. It's not. His word is not unhealthy. His word is Jesus. You remember that? His word is Jesus. And none of the descriptions, and I'm not talking about the little white Jesus that the people put up on the walls. I'm talking about the Jesus that's in my Bible. He was not overweight. If he was, he wouldn't have been able. How can you be overweight doing all that walking anyway? You know, if he was a little overweight, he worked it off with the ministry that God gave to him. Our focus needs to be on what our responsibility is right now. Who am I? What am I? What do they see when they look at me? Is my appearance a distraction from the message of God that is within me? Or can they see Jesus through who I am, what I have on, and the girth of my body? Because sometimes our size will get in the way, and they too busy looking at what we got instead of what we trying to give. All right, I hope so. Because, see, you know, we talked about destiny, I guess, last month, and predestination. And God said that we have destined ourselves for early death. Destiny is where your feet are directed, the path that they are on right now. You remember that? But predestination is what God has designed for us. And at some point, Chronos meets Kairos, and it intersects. And then we begin to make a shift and go in the direction that God would have us to go in. So the world might have your destiny leading you to an early grave behind what you've been putting in your mouth. But God is meeting you where you are today to let you know I've got something better in store for you. But you've got to decide whether or not you want it. You've got to decide whether or not it's important enough to you. Because see, some people don't like the message that's putting on a spot. Spotlight on practical things. They like to hear about all the holy things of God. But when it comes to what I need to change, what I need to do, the family of God get to turn in a deaf ear. And I'm here to let you know right now, to whom much is given, much is required. And everybody under the sound of my voice is going to be held accountable for this message on today. God said, I've taken far too many excuses and far too many lies. It's time to get it together and get it right. Our bodies were not intended for sin. They were not intended for us to overeat. They were not intended for gluttony to be an acceptable reality in the family of God. We don't even preach about gluttony. We don't even talk bad about gluttony. It doesn't come up. We like to talk about smoking and drinking and sexing and all that stuff, but gluttony never comes up. Why not? Because we don't want to get called out. It's like, because if I call out gluttony, now I got to do something about it. Well, I'm calling out gluttony, and now we got to do something about it. God says, get your temple in shape, because as it stands, you're not yet fit for the kingdom. Now, there's a book out there called The Daniel Fast by Rick Warren, and I've started reading it because he has an awesome testimony about how he was baptizing over 800 people, and he realized that God's people are fat, including him. And so he decided that he was going to do something about it, because he knows that it's not okay to be fat and be a witness for God. So he calls out five essentials that we have to draw ourselves to, that we have to attend to in order for us to be delivered from obesity. Does anybody want to hear the five essentials? Because if we do this, I'm telling you, we can be freed up. We can be freed up. The first thing is faith. We must have faith. We must believe that we can be healthy, and then we must put that belief into action. That's what faith is, belief in action. Number two, food. We've got to design our eating life. That means we have to plan ahead. That means we got to make a grocery list. Don't go to the grocery store without a list, because your body going to have you buying all the wrong things. And Lord have mercy, don't go there hungry. You really going to be buying all the wrong things. You'll be buying everything you want to eat right now. Make a list ahead of time and do your best to stick to that list. That will help you to design your eating life, because what you buy is what you're supposed to eat. And don't buy everything that has to be cooked. Buy some things that you can eat quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because not every time, you don't always have time to cook. Amen, somebody. But you can grab a yogurt and an apple and be on your way. Instead of one of them coffee drinks and a sweet roll. Spending all that money at Starbucks. Meanwhile, their mission is to kill you. Now, let me just say that Starbucks owners do not have as their mission statement, I want to kill everybody. They don't have that. But the devil who's working behind them does. That's his mission. Be freed up from Starbucks, somebody, today. I rebuke that Starbucks spirit in the name of Jesus today. Design your eating life. And don't worry about what the world is saying. Because, see, some of you need to turn your TVs off. You need to cut your TVs off. I still don't have TV, and I'm glad about it. I've been freed up in all kinds of ways. I'm not accosted by the commercials anymore. They can't get to me now. That's right. 3, fitness. That's right. You know that's a necessary F. We need to work out every single day in some kind of way. You can start off moderate. It could be 10 minutes a day, and you work your way up. See, don't do that. I'm gonna join the gym, and I'm gonna go 2 hours every night. You lying to yourself. Don't waste that money. They taking that money out your bank account every single month, and you ain't been to the gym since the first time you showed up. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. You can work out on the stairs at your house. You can work out in your living room. You can walk around your block. You can walk around the lake. It's a whole lot of free things that we can do in order to get ourselves healthy. But we need to do it. We need to do something every single day. 4, focus. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind needs to be renewed every single day so that we can continue to think differently about food. Don't wake up fantasizing about that Whopper with bacon and cheese. I mean, you know how you get it in your head, and it usually will come from a commercial where you get it in your head, oh, tomorrow I'm going to Burger King. Uh-huh. They got the new breakfast burger. Yeah, I'm going to try that. The breakfast burger got more calories than the dinner burgers. Did you hear that? The breakfast burgers have more calories than the dinner burgers. Yes, I'm trying to tell you, the devil wants to kill you. You might as well just call McDonald's, Burger King, Jack and about all of them. Just start calling them the devil. Then you won't fool yourself. Then you won't buy into the lies that they tell you. Now they're talking about they got healthy burgers. Lies! KFC healthy chicken. Lies! They call them Satisfries. Trust me, I know all about them. Satisfries. Are they healthy? No. They satisfies. That's exactly what they are. That's exactly what they are. Don't believe the devil as he comes up to you with all that attractive fast food. You need to start really, I'm serious. Start looking at the Wendy's. I didn't leave out Wendy's. I'm talking about all of them. Look at them and say, that's the devil. The devil. The devil, and stay away from. The Bible says resist the chilies too. The Bible says resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So now that we understand fast food is the devil, You can put the word on it and start resisting the devil so that he will flee from you. Number four, that's focus. Number five, friends. We need support in this thing. Can I see a show of hands of anybody that's ever been on a diet? Look around. Can I see a show of hands? I see the baby done raised his hand. Uh-uh. They done put the baby on the diet. All right. Can I see a show of hands of anybody that's been on two or more diets in their life? Did they work for you? Because diets don't work. It has to be a lifestyle change. And we have to recognize that it's hard to do it by yourself, because if you don't get your friends involved, then they're going to take you to Chevy's. They're going to take you to Chili's. They're going to take you to the fast food places. And you might have a problem resisting it, because deep down inside, you know you want it anyway. So we need to get our friends involved. We need to get our church family involved so that we can support one another. I know one year we did The Biggest Loser. Remember that, family, where some of us did that? And we lost weight. Did we lose weight? We lost weight. And then we gained it all back. We gained it all back. We gained it all back because we didn't stick with it. It was something we just did for a summer. But this is something we have to do for a lifetime, family. That's why it's real to look at those fast food places as the devil. Because if you just look at it as, oh, something I'm a fast from right now, then that means in your mind you're going to go back to it at some point, because you know your little favorite thing you like from your favorite place. Find some new favorite things. You know, I found out that healthy food is delicious. And you know, but sometimes people don't know how to make it, and then it's not that good. But you can go on the internet, which is a wonderful thing, and you can look up all sorts of recipes, very simple things. And you could say, you could Google healthy meals that are within 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and they'll pull up all kind of, you'll be able to pull up all kind of meals that you'll be able to eat. But back to friends. We need to come together and decide as a community that we want to be healthy, not just so we can look good in a swimsuit this summer, but so that our message is not contrary to what is coming out of our mouth. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because if we so out of shape that we can't walk around and tell somebody about Jesus, our witness is compromised. If we're so out of shape that our physical being is a distraction from whatever it is we're trying to share with somebody, then there's a problem there. God says, I want my sons and my daughters to be fit for my kingdom. Family, we have come a long way in our humanity. And I don't know if you know this or not, but this is a staggering reality that we are in a place right now in the 21st century where we have as many overweight people in the world as we do starving people in the world. Some of us have too much food, and some of us have too little. The scale is not balanced. Greed has become acceptable in our society and has filtered into our churches and into the mindset of the believer. But that doesn't excuse it. That doesn't make it all right. We are being commissioned to take God's word to the world. We have been challenged to make sure our message does not contradict, is not contradicted by our behavior. So in taking his word to the world, we're to be witnesses for fitness. We have to check ourselves and stop going and stop giving ourselves excuses for why we haven't gotten in shape yet. Did you know that Lent starts this Wednesday? Lent starts this Wednesday. And this year, God is calling for a church-wide fast from anything that's been keeping us unhealthy. His goal for we, his people, is to be better coming out than we were going in. 40 days can make a difference, family. 40 days can make a big difference. Have you ever seen a house that looks good on the outside, real attractive on the outside, but then when you go inside, to your dismay, the people who live there did not keep it up? They got dishes stacked up everywhere. They got clothes all over the place. It's just a mess, even downright nasty on the inside. Anybody ever seen that before? Wednesday, I shared a praise report with the class. Then my doctor told me that I was a healthy 48 year old, and I was excited. I texted my mama, told her about it. I was thanking God for it, and yet my doctor decided to take some tests just to be, you know, just to be safe, to make sure everything's all right in the places that she could not see. So she ran the test just to be sure, and the very next day, family, I got a call from my doctor, and you know it ain't good when your doctor take the time to call you themselves. Turns out, I have diabetes and very high cholesterol. And I have a confession to make, family. I never thought I would get a chronic disease. Not that I thought I was better than or above it all, but I was in denial about what I have been doing to my body. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't get high, I don't fornicate, I don't commit adultery, I don't lie, cheat, steal, kill, I honor my parents, I don't commit idolatry, I'm a righteous woman, a warrior woman of God, and I lead other people into a right relationship with God for themselves. My entire life is dedicated to advancing his kingdom and to live my life for him. But I haven't always made wise choices with my eating. I'm a self-proclaimed foodie. Eating is one of my favorite pastimes. I look forward to eating every day. I plan ahead what I want to eat the next day. So my choices have rendered unto me some consequences. Diabetes is my reality for now, family. But it's not my reality for a lifetime, because I can make different choices that will lead me to a different outcome. And that's what my doctor said as well. The problem is a lot of people don't do what they're supposed to do, and it just sticks with them and continues to get worse. Ash Wednesday is on the way. And family, I want you to know, I'm committed to a fast that will help me make different choices, not just for a season, but for a lifetime. I'm determined to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. I am determined to let my light shine so that you all will see my good works and glorify God. I am determined that my life will be a living testimony to the power of choice and lifestyle change. I'm determined to be a witness for fitness. I'm determined to tell that doctor that the diagnosis might be for now, but it's not forever, because Jesus is my doctor and he has given me my prescription. Now all I have to do is what he tells me to do, because all things are working together for the good of them who love God and are called according to their purpose, because trouble don't last always, because by his stripes, I am healed. So is there anybody in here other than me who is hearing the call of God on today? Will anybody partner with me today to become fit for the kingdom? Is anybody ready to take back their health, their life, and their destiny? Is anybody in here ready to stop violating the temple of God? Is anybody in here ready to put the devil at bay? Because if it were up to the devil, we'd all be fat, we'd stay fat, and we'd die of diseases. But the devil is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And God promises us this day we can have victory over the devil if we could just have faith in him. Change what we think about food. Commit ourselves to exercising every day. Focus on what we should be eating and make sure we've got support. Friends and family that are going to be there, not to hate on us and tell them it's okay. It's okay to eat that pie. It's okay to eat that cheesecake. We need people around us that's going to say, don't do it. Don't do it. I got some strawberries instead. Don't go there. Those are the kind of friends we need to partner with us. If anybody's ready to partner with me, stand to your feet right now. Now, I feel strongly that what I'm going to do for Lent is a vegan fast. I'm not requiring that of anybody. Kayla, Imani, and I have already decided. I sound like three people, but Imani and I, we have decided that that's what we want to do together. But God says, fast from anything that's been keeping you unhealthy. For some of you, it might be smoking, it might be drinking, it might be, you know, other things. You don't have the same issues that your pastor has. But God wants us all to get healthy. That is what he's calling for in this day. And he doesn't want us to just get healthy for the next 40 days, amen. He wants us to make it a lifestyle so that we can teach our children, so that when somebody asks to raise your hand if you've been on a diet, nobody under 10 is going to raise their hand. Because they don't need to ever diet if they learn how to eat right from the start. And that's not what we've been teaching our children. And I'm not pointing the fingers at anybody. This is not judgment, because we've all fallen short. But now is the time for us to get it together. And I need to tell you, don't feel sorry for me. Diabetes is not a death sentence. It's a wake-up call. And the fact that he gave it to your leader means that he wants you to see how I'm going to handle it. And I'm not going to handle it in any kind of way to impress you. But I'm going to do whatever I can to be pleasing to him. Because that's the one area in my life that I let just run rampant. Just whatever I want to do, I'm free to do. There's consequences for doing whatever you want to do. And so I'm just living in my consequence. I can't blame God. No, God did not give me diabetes. My choices gave me diabetes. My choices gave me high cholesterol. And now my choices are going to take those things away. And I need help. I need family and friends to partner with me, for us to believe in each other, to support one another, and to know that we are pursuing God's best in ourselves, a place that we've never been before, the best that doesn't yet exist in our lives because we haven't gotten there. But this is what he wants for us, and I'm glad to see all of you making a commitment to it. Let us pray. Father, we love you so much, and we just thank you because your goodness and your mercy knows no bounds. We thank you, Lord, for wake-up calls and second chances. We thank you for opportunities to get it right and to get it together. We thank you, oh God, that you are leading us to where you desire for us to be, and you want us to be fit for your kingdom. So, Father, we pray that you will place on the hearts of each and every son and daughter that is in the house today what you desire us to fast from, what you want us to let go, whether it be for a season or for a lifetime. And, Father, we will partner with you and one another so that we can stand firm in our conviction that our best is yet to come, in our conviction that there's a brand new me on the horizon, on our conviction that we will be messages for ministry, without contradiction and without distraction. Forgive us, oh God, for doing whatever we wanted to do just because we thought we could do it. Teach us to be disciplined and obedient in our choices, that they will lead us to our predestination that is found only in you. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Now hug somebody and tell them, I'm going to get fit. I'm going to get fit.